This is WNYC New York. I'm Eddie Robinson. Mobile app developers and consumer privacy advocates met in Washington today to review what data these programs should and shouldn't collect from users. Privacy concerns are becoming increasingly important across all industries, ranging from healthcare to advertising to government, as they collect and analyze more and more information. It's called big data, and as Tracy Samuelson reports, it's really all about you.
Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen.
Text messages, phone calls, voicemails, ATM transactions, web searches, credit card purchases, everywhere we go with our cell phones.
Almost everything we do digitally these days is leaving a trace.
Oded Netzer is a professor at Columbia Business School. One of his specialties is something called big data, capital B, capital D.
It's the ability to collect information about what people are doing and starting to connect the dots, starting to get different sources of data and putting them together.
Advances in technology mean we can now collect, store, and analyze bigger and bigger pools of data, even sets of data from different sources. The goal is to create a portrait of you, what you might want or need. The better the data, the more complete the picture.
This is opening the door up for all sorts of cool analysis that we couldn't do before.
Afshin Ghadarzi is a data scientist at a New York company called 1010 Data. He shows me a demo of their micro-segmentation wizard. It's a specially designed computer program that can churn through a few years' worth of texts, calls, and voicemails for all the users on a cellular network, 1.8 million people, in 7 minutes.
Sometimes it takes 8.
Ghadarzi points to a visualization of what that data might look like on a flat screen TV.
Like this guy over here, this group of people over here, you notice that he's only connected to a few other individuals.
It looks a bit like a map of star constellations, countless green dots connected by spokes that show how information spreads between users on a network.
This guy is a hub of activity. This guy is where a lot of information is coming and going.
The phone company can now take this information to tap an advertiser and say, hey, we can help you push an ad to connected people who will help get your information out to their networks, assuming it's the right message for those users. Netzer at Columbia's Business School says when it is the right message, it's convenient. Consumers get information about things they actually want.
If not done right, then the information I will get will be totally irrelevant for me. And that's when consumers get pissed off. And that's when consumers start being worried about the information being shared.
Irrelevant could mean ads for a new TV when you actually just bought one. Or it could be flat out inappropriate, like displaying an ad for a samurai sword after you've just read a news article about a stabbing. With all this data from all these different sources, companies are actually getting better at targeting their message. And consumers are getting more comfortable sharing their data, as long as they feel like they're getting more benefit than they're giving up in information. But big data isn't limited to just phone companies or advertising. Everyone from financial services to government agencies wants to find new insights in their data.
This is our modest little core facility.
And so does healthcare. Meet Amy.
I don't know. She kind of looks like a giant laser printer.
She does look like a giant laser printer. She's got some very nice lights here that tell us that she's healthy. And she gives graphical output on what she's been doing for the past couple hours.
Actually, Andrew Kasarskis is the director of Mount Sinai's Institute for Genomics and Multiscale Biology. Amy is a machine that sequences DNA, listing the 3 billion letters of genetic code that make us who we are and sometimes make us sick.
So we've got two parents and two kids, right? So we're looking for things specifically where in the sun it is homozygous.
On this particular day, Kasarskis and his team, part biologists, part data analysts, gather around a whiteboard to try and figure out why an 18-month-old baby has liver disease and how to fix it. They have DNA from the baby's parents and from roughly 1,500 other livers, plus still more data on known liver conditions tied to specific genes, and a new supercomputer that can crunch all this data. Dr. Melissa Wasserstein is the baby's doctor.
And if we can figure it out and maybe understand it, then hopefully we can come up with a treatment specifically for this child or hopefully in the future for other children with a similar kind of thing.
And that's big data, the idea that lots of information on lots of people will help us understand one person better. For WNYC, I'm Tracy Samuelson.